Americans have donated hundreds of millions of dollars to relief groups in response to the Indian Ocean disaster. The largest organizations are often the ones that get attention from the media. So some people have begun to send out emails to colleagues and friends suggesting donations to smaller grassroots organizations. NPR's Margot Adler reports.
On a cold, dreary day in Gloucester, Massachusetts, with snow on the ground, Steve Parks, who manages a seafood warehouse for Whole Foods right on the Gloucester docks, jokes with fishermen coming in with their catch.
Ooh, the fish slayer today. Holy moly.
He's watching as 800 pounds of codfish are emptied from buckets onto a culling table to be sorted. Parks has been following the story of the tsunami, and he has decided to give money to the aid effort. But when he thinks about where, he says,
you know, you have to pick your little spot. You know, you could send your money to the Red Cross, which we might do personally at my house. So there's all kinds of places you can put your money.
He's already decided to give to a local effort. One email making the rounds in Gloucester and around the country comes from Niaz Dori, who calls herself a freelance activist. Once employed by Greenpeace, she has spent the last 10 years working out of Gloucester with small-scale fishing communities. The World Forum of Fisher People, based in India, is one group she has helped, and many of its members were in areas hard hit by the tsunami. When these people emailed her about the devastation, she responded and sent an email to everyone she knew.
I was thinking, do I give to the Red Cross? Do I give to Oxfam? Who do I give money to where I feel like it can go directly to the hands of the people most affected? And I have no problems with all these organizations, but I felt like here I had an opportunity to give to somebody I knew the face of.
She entered into an agreement with the Northwest Atlantic Marine Alliance to set up a bank account with a credit union in Maine. From there, money would go directly to fishing villages in Sri Lanka. Within a week of the email, she had raised more than $12,000. But what was more important, she began to hear from fishing groups from all over the place that wanted to help.
I was contacted by a fishing organization on the West Coast who has ships ready. They want to put supplies on board, and they want to head out to Southeast Asia to help these folks with supplies, but also to stay there for the long haul.
She's received lists from Indonesian, Indian, and Sri Lankan fishing groups about what they need in regard to nets and rope. A Norwegian fishing group asks, should we send nets or money? Dori stresses that no money goes to her or any organization she represents, but only from the credit union to a bank account set up in Sri Lanka. Steve Park says he trusts this effort.
I think that the group of people that they're involved in will get the money to where it needs to do, and they'll make intelligent decisions on what needs to be done in the correct time sequence.
Why does he trust Dori? Bottom line, it's people you know. And people are responding to these emails and websites. For example, horror novelist Whitley Strieber has a website. It's called unknowncountry.com. Among all the articles on UFOs and other strange phenomena is Strieber's essay suggesting donations to four groups, only one, Oxfam, very well known. Strieber's website lists Oroville, a community of some 100 small settlements in Tamil Nadu in South India that's involved with traditional village life. Another group listed in several emails and on websites is Sarvodaya, a grassroots Buddhist community movement in Sri Lanka. Back in Gloucester, Niaz Dori says she's in constant contact with Sri Lanka, and she says six groups there met about a week ago to come together as a national organization to provide aid and reconstruction for their communities. They have a $5.5 million proposal to provide counseling for the children and other survivors, to build boats, provide short-term shelter, and begin working on a longer reconstruction agenda.
They have local contacts, they know where to get food, they know where to get the supplies that they need, and they can do it at a fraction of what an international organization might need to do.
Dori has her own agenda to help small-scale fishing communities and oppose large industrial fishing. In her view, the lives of small communities and the health of the sea depend on it. While agendas may differ, many of these smaller aid efforts emphasize giving directly to local communities rather than large charities or government organizations. Margot Adler, NPR News.
Information on aid groups mentioned in this report is at our website, npr.org.